States along the East Coast declare states of emergency. What does that mean? From Marketplace. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Hurricane Florence is now a Category 2 storm, but it could still send a storm surge 13 feet high and cause extreme flooding inland. Several states along the eastern seaboard and the District of Columbia have already declared a state of emergency ahead of the storm making landfall later this week. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris explains how a declaration of emergency unlocks funding state and local governments know they will need even before the storm hits.
Before states can spend any more on relief or recovery than what's officially budgeted, they need authorization.
But government can only do the things that it's explicitly been given the legal ability to do.
That's Joseph Trainer with a Disaster Research Center at the University of Delaware. So declaring a state of emergency means the state can temporarily apply a different set of rules to how they do business. And there's a lot of business around a giant storm. States and local governments will be spending on contracts, overtime for workers, shelters. The state of emergency declaration makes it all happen faster. Normal bid procedures are suspended. And once a state declares a state of emergency, then it can request federal aid. But sometimes that's still not enough.
The reality is that we're seeing the damage, the financial damage, just go up precipitously.
Steve Benjamin is mayor of Columbia, South Carolina. His city is still recovering from the flooding Hurricane Joaquin delivered 3 years ago. And now he's bracing for Hurricane Florence. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Apple unveiled a new iPhone XS and larger XS Max. The new phones have faster processors and better water resistance, among other things. Marketplace's Tech Molly Wood says it's not just the phones that got an overhaul.
The most interesting part of the announcement, actually, is the Apple Watch. Apple has been working closely with the Food and Drug Administration to really turn this thing into, in some ways, a medical device. It now offers the world's first consumer electrocardiogram. It also includes things like warnings about heart rate changes. It'll even call the doctor if it senses that you fell. This is a big move into the health world for Apple, which it's been sort of flirting with for a lot of years. It also suggests that the company may be wanting to target an older demographic or, you know, hypochondriacs. It feels a little bit risky to me. I mean, if this is billed as a medical device, there's a lot of questions about false positives and about the idea of therapeutic use versus something people think is actually diagnosing them. To be honest, though, long term, Apple does have to find a revenue stream other than the iPhone. If it can find more reasons for people to buy the Apple Watch other than it being a nice accessory for the iPhone, it's going to help boost diversification and the bottom line.
Molly Wood, host Marketplace Tech.
James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible.
The Trump administration has invited Chinese officials to renewed trade talks. That's before the White House makes a decision on tariffs President Trump threatened to impose on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. One question is whether the tariffs so far have brought the Trump administration any closer to achieving its goals in China. Harry Broadman is senior fellow and director of the Council on Global Enterprise and Emerging Markets at Johns Hopkins University. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri. How are you?
Good. So if the U.S. can impose more tariffs on China than China can on the U.S., and economists are already saying this is likely to hurt China's GDP growth in 2019, is there something to be said for the idea that the U.S. is, quote unquote, winning this trade dispute with China?
China's growth has been slowing down secularly for, you know, a number of years, which has nothing to do with the Trump administration's tariffs. You know, how one measures when the country's strategy is winning or losing, I think is going to be very difficult to disentangle from looking at what happens to Chinese growth. I think the question is whether or not tariffs are the right instrument in measuring whether or not the U.S. is, quote, winning, unquote, a trade war with China.
Well, what would the right instrument be?
the instrument of choice really ought to be is to have this conversation with China as to whether or not it should get full WTO status. The wise thing for the Trump administration to do, frankly, would be to get a coalition of the willing of large WTO members, then have that discussion with China. Say, listen, you signed something in 2001, you've made a lot of progress in certain areas, but you haven't lived up to the agreement. Right now, the tariffs are a sideshow. Frankly, we're shooting ourselves in the foot in the U.S. more than we are in the case of China.
I think it is difficult for observers of this dispute to have an accurate foundation on what is possible. So realistically, which policies do you think China would actually move on, might actually change, and which ones just don't have a snowball's chance?
The bulwark of the Communist Party's control of the economy are the state-owned enterprises and the state-owned banks. And those are at the core of where the problem lies in China. Tariffs are not going to alter that kind of structure or behavior. So I think for the trade situation between the U.S. and China, or China and other WTO members, to become more harmonious, the reform has to come, frankly, from within China itself. And so dealing with this bilaterally by tariffs and not dealing with sort of the institutional problems of China, we're not going to get very far in this trade dispute.
Harry Brodmann, Director of the Council on Global Enterprise and Emerging Markets at Johns Hopkins University. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM American Public Media.